Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we focus our attention on our gospel reading from John chapter 1, where we hear John the Baptist proclaiming that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You may be seated. Most of us at some point, I imagine, have read the children's book Charlotte's Web. It tells the tale of a little girl's pig named Wilbur. And Wilbur goes from being the family's dinner to being the county fair's prize-winning pig. And Wilbur gets quite a bit of help in all of this from the friendly barn spider named Charlotte, who spins messages in the barn's doorway about Wilbur the pig. And one of those messages is, "Some pig." And that message is that Wilbur is some pig, who deserves not to be served for dinner, but who deserves to be kept around. In today's gospel, we hear not about a pig, but about a lamb, about the Lamb of God. And we know that throughout the Old Testament, and right up to the time of the text that we just heard today, that lambs, too, had a higher purpose than being served for dinner. Lambs were for sacrifice. And the lamb that John identifies here in this text has a greater purpose than all of the other lambs that have ever been. Now, John didn't spin a web that said some lamb, but he did clearly identify who Jesus was and what he had come to do. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John effectively invites every single person who can hear his words to focus on the one who came with a greater purpose, who came with a more powerful message than anyone who had come before him, and anyone who's ever come after him as well. Which is why we still do the same thing today. Every message invites us, in the same way that John did, to come and you will see. Come and you will see that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb that is divine. He's different than all of those other sacrificial lambs that came before him. Those that were sacrificed on the altar, but could never be that once and for all sacrifice that God promised to atone for the sins of the whole world. Jesus ranks higher than John the Baptist does. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, but who was not the Messiah. And John clearly recognizes that. He knows what his role is. John's job is to continually point to the one who is the Messiah. He says, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me." Jesus is greater than John because he existed before John did. And in fact, there was never a time where Jesus didn't exist. And that is only true about God. And it's why John rightly recognizes Jesus as the one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals he was not even worthy to stoop down and untie. And as that one true God in human form, Jesus possesses and he also distributes the Holy Spirit. John says this, he says, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." John recognized that. He saw it in Jesus' own baptism as the Father from heaven spoke down and said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." And he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove right on to Jesus. And so John reveals this identity of Jesus to all who can hear him. And as he does so, he clearly is telling them that this is not a true man, not only a true man, but also true God. And that's the Son of the Most High. Jesus is the seed of Eve who has come to crush the serpent's head. And while all those of the Jewish tradition would have certainly understood the reference to this lamb of sacrifice, they also would have understood this, that the Messiah who was to come would also possess the qualities of a shepherd. And so those two disciples who approach Jesus, who are following just a little ways behind him, rightly call him Rabbi, which means teacher and leader. And those are just some of the things that a shepherd does. And this isn't just any shepherd. This is the good shepherd who leads his sheep to everlasting life. So Jesus, he turns around and he sees these two men following him, and he invites Andrew and that other disciple and the rest of the disciples as well. And he invites you and he invites me to come and you will see. Come and you will see that he is the sacrificial lamb who takes away the world's sins. Because that was his destiny. His destiny was to fulfill all prophecy, including that one that we heard from Isaiah 49 this morning, to be the world's redeemer. Not just to be the redeemer for one or two or one group of people, but to be the redeemer for everyone, the entire world. That's exactly what he was born for and what he would spend his ministry, including his life and his sacrificial death, doing. Through his baptism, which anoints Jesus as the one who was destined to redeem the whole world, John is fully convinced that this is the one who he was called to proclaim as the Messiah. And because that's exactly who Jesus is, his entire ministry, the ministry that begins there with his baptism and continues through the cross, is exactly how he works to redeem the whole world. The whole world. No one excepted. Isaiah says that the light of the nations was sent that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. That's everywhere. No one is excluded from that promise that the world's Redeemer would come for them. Nothing excludes you from that. We all live in sin. We all fall short of what God calls us to be, what he calls us to do. And yet, none of us is left out of that promise unless we fail to come and see, unless we fail to heed his invitation to come and see what he has done and to believe in what he has given. Because when someone asks you to come and see, they generally have something that's worth going and taking a look at. Especially when that someone who is inviting you is someone that's special to you, someone that you care about. When that person invites you to come and see, you're going to want to jump right up and go and see what it is that they have to show you. Think about your kids and their constant, look what I did. Look what I made. Come outside and see this snowman that I built. How many things have your kids asked you to come and see? And what do? You hop up and you go and you see. Now remember that the Lord of the universe, the God of all creation, beckons you to come and to see what he has done. How much more spectacular that is than anything else that you've ever been invited to see. He's called you to come and to see, just like he called Andrew and that other unnamed disciple, which, by the way, is probably John, the gospel writer. He's writing about himself, but not naming himself. And what did Andrew do after Jesus invited him to come and see? He recognized the importance of what he was seeing and first found his own brother and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus. Brought him to Jesus. I want you all just to think for a moment here, just for a second. And I want you to picture one person in your mind. You've seen the most amazing thing that you could ever possibly see, and you want to tell one person about it. You want to let one person know what you now know. Do you have that person in your mind? When something so amazing is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, who points us to Jesus as the Lamb of God, our reaction should be exactly that as of Andrew. So excited by what he's seen that he can't possibly help himself from going and telling those that are important to him. It's what we should do. Go and tell those who are important to us. Those who we want to know that same great joy that we know at having seen our Savior. And Jesus is revealed to us in so many ways. The Holy Spirit opens up to us the Word of God so that we can hear it and understand it. We're called to the waters of our own baptism so that God can reveal His mercy and His grace to us through that washing of regeneration. And the body and the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It sits right there on the altar. It sits there awaiting our arrival to partake of the forgiveness and the strengthening that it provides. All of these things are not only for us to come and see, but they're also for us to share with those who have yet to see them, who have yet to partake of these incredible gifts. Which is why our own identification of Jesus, it's why our own identification of Jesus as the Lamb of God for others to see, it begins with the proclamation of the gospel through our words and our actions to all those who are out there in the world. But it culminates when God uses that testimony, your testimony, to draw people here to His house, where the fullness of the gospel is proclaimed and where His sacraments are celebrated. Come and you will see that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb who is sacrificed but is risen from the grave to new life. Risen, not just to live that new life, but also to reign. To be that sacrificial lamb, Jesus had to bleed and he had to die. And in those days, it would have been clear that being called a lamb meant nothing other than that Jesus would have been a sacrifice. They knew that the forgiveness of sins required the shedding of blood, which is exactly what Jesus did at his crucifixion. That was the very price of our salvation. But unlike every single other sacrificial lamb that had come before him, every one of them remained dead. But the grave could not hold Jesus. Moses' Passover lamb that we hear about all the way back in Exodus is still dead. Every lamb that was sacrificed in the temple is still dead. But Jesus stands forever as the sacrificed but risen Lamb of God. And that resurrection, which we celebrate today and every time that we gather together, allows him to remain over all, especially us, his redeemed people. And he does it from the right hand of the Father in heaven, and his blood sets us free to live under him in his kingdom, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns for all eternity. This truly is some Lamb that John the Baptist has revealed to us. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, spotless and pure. Jesus is the sacrificial Lamb that's greater than any other. And his sacrifice is for the whole world, in all times and in all places. It's for your salvation. It's for my salvation. Which is why we could joyfully sing this morning and forever in the Gloria about that Lamb of God. Remember, we just sang, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lamb of God, Lord God, you take away the sin of the world. Truly worthy is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your sin. Where any other sacrifice falls short, Christ's sacrifice is perfect. And through his perfect life, his selfless death, and his glorious resurrection, he has taken away your sin. And he's made you his people, the sheep of his hand. And he continues to be revealed to us. And since he does that, I invite you to continue to come, and you will see. For God's prized Lamb, our sacrificial Lamb, is the source of your salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.